Welcome to our forgiveness series. This is a good morning, guys. This is a wonderful opportunity for us to see baptisms, see people display faith, and we're at part four of our forgiveness series. Today, we're going to talk about the practice of forgiveness. Now, what can happen is we can lose sight of the fact that forgiveness is a very special thing. Even after all we've heard over these 4 weeks, it could become purely academic, and we must not let that happen. I want you to lock into the fact that forgiveness is the greatest gift that you can possibly imagine. As Christians, it's the best thing that we have. There's nothing greater, nothing more that we need than forgiveness. And I thought about that when I read this quote this week from a woman who is a humanist. She doesn't believe in God. She's a well-known humanist, or she was, before she died in 1988. She gave a moment of surprising candor on a television interview when she said this. Now, don't miss this, Christian. Here's what this person that doesn't believe in God said. She said something. It'll come. It's not working, so if you could click that for me. And again, her name is Margarita Lasky. She said, "What I envy most about you Christians is your forgiveness. I have nobody to forgive me." Spoken to someone who doesn't even know God, doesn't believe in a God. What a sad thing. But again, it's a reminder that we have something that the world needs and wants and is very real, and you can have it today. That's why I mentioned this card today, that you'll be able to fill out. And today could be the day that you receive the forgiveness of all your sins, every one of them. Today could be the day. It's yours for the asking. God has allowed you to receive that gift today. And that's my prayer, is that many of you will. It's a simple step of faith. And here we see a woman who doesn't have that because she doesn't believe in God. You see, forgiveness is not just some academic exercise. In Colossians 3, it says, "Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you." And to be very, very honest, very, very candid, sometimes I want to look at God and say, God, easier said than done. Especially in the area of forgiveness and forgiving other people. Because some of you have been wounded deeply by other people. Some of you have been wounded deeply by another church. And you're finally just kind of coming out and saying, well, maybe I'll give church another chance. And I just want to say, welcome. Some of you have been wounded by God. You blame God for all the hurt in your life. And God wants to set you free from that today. Forgiveness is the greatest gift that God could give to us. And today, I want to look at five foundations of freedom. This is a very practical message. How do we put this into practice? And I'll use the term on a horizontal level and a vertical level. The horizontal is between you and other people. That's what I'm talking about. The vertical is between you and God. So we have two relationships. We have a relationship with God, and we have this horizontal with people. I'm going to talk about both today. Some of you need to get that forgiveness from God. That's where it all starts. Some of you need to learn how to release and forgive other people that have hurt you. And we're going to talk about all that today, how you can do that. So let's just pray one more time here. Ask God to help us. Lord, we thank you for today, and we thank you for those that stepped out in faith and baptism and said, I do trust in Christ. I want the whole world to know. We appreciate their faith. And I appreciate everyone that's here today, that you've got a message specifically for them. It's no mistake that they're here today. No mistake that you want to speak to them because you love them. That's your response when you love someone. You speak to them. I pray that you would do that today. I trust you will. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So in your handout, in your program, you have what I call blanks. Fill in the blanks. It's got all the verses. It's got the main points. And you can pull that out. Otherwise, you're really going to hurt my feelings if you don't pull that out because I spend a lot of time working on that. Actually, you don't have to pull it out. But if I was you, I would. I just pull it out. Use it. It'll help you, okay? I want to help you. So let's go to the first point. First foundation of forgiveness is this, to recognize the problem. And there is a problem. This is where we have to start. We start at the vertical level with God. There's a problem between us being mankind, and God. There's a problem. The fact is, to err is human. In other words, we all sin. Every one of us sins. That's what the Bible says in Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So even in this context, all means all, and that's all means. All means all, and that's all means. So you are included in all. I don't care how good you think you are. And I know this could surprise some of you. I've surprised some people recently to let them know that they're not as good as they think they are. Because all of us have sinned. All of us have fallen short of God's glory. We do things that God says we shouldn't do. We say things God says, don't say that. We dishonor our parents. We lust. We steal. We lie. We use God's name in vain. We do it all the time. Each one of those is a sin, and we've fallen short of God's holy standard. And the thing is that we all think that we're pretty good. We all think that we're better than everybody else. We simply do. And I remember a couple of stories. One was a Sunday school teacher that was teaching on forgiveness, and he had a class of like second, third graders, and he was waxing eloquent. And he was so excited about this topic of forgiveness. And he said to his class, he wanted to help them understand the forgiveness of Christ and the good news of the gospel. And he said, kids, what do we need to do to get forgiven? What do we need to do to get this forgiveness? And one of the kids in the back was raising his hand. Oh, I know. He said, Tommy, what do we need to do to get forgiven? And Tommy said, he stood up and said, in order to get forgiven, the first thing we need to do is sin. And he's absolutely right. So there's good news and there's bad news. The good news is that we can get forgiven. The bad news is we're all sinners in need of forgiveness. You and I are all in the same boat. Again, I don't care how good you are or you think you are. All of us have this propensity to think we're better than we really are. We think we're better than the person next to us for sure, or at least that guy. You know, one of the two, I'm better for sure. You know, I'm going, I don't know about them. That's what we think. Or my good, I'm pretty sure my good outweighs the bad pretty close anyway. So I must be going to heaven. Or I've tried my hardest, Bill. You just don't understand. I'll just stand before God and say, I've tried my hardest. Really? Nobody tries their hardest. Well, I've never killed anybody. Oh, then come on in by all means. You never killed anybody. That's the standard. Here's the standard for everybody getting into heaven. Just don't kill anybody. Really? No, the standard is never sin. Not once. Not one bad thought. Not one harsh word. Not once your whole life. That's the standard. And none of us will ever get there on our own merit. That's where we need to start. Recognize you have a problem. You got a problem. All humanity has a problem, and it's the same problem. Don't look to your husband or your wife or people around you and compare yourself to them, because you'll always turn out smelling pretty good. I like what Chuck Swindoll said. He said, oh, how terrible our sins look when they're committed by someone else. And isn't that true? We have such a good outlook on our own life. We can make ourselves feel so good about ourselves. With humility, of course. Well, I know I'm not perfect, but close, I guess. I we all sin. We all fall in the same boat. And A.W. Tozer says it this way. He says, the essence of sin is rebellion against the divine authority. That's what sin is. When we define sin, it's simply rebellion against God. God says, don't do it. We say, God, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do what I want to do. He doesn't see me anywhere. Whatever excuse we have, we do things that God says don't do. That's rebellion. And that's how God sees it. Clearly, God says people are in rebellion. And that rebellion causes a separation between us and God, just like it does with us and humans when we sin against humans. It's true with God. When we break his commands, when we don't do what he tells us to do, it separates us. In Isaiah 59:2, it says, but your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. Now, we're all in the same boat. We've all sinned. So what does this mean? It means, have you ever tried to pray or get close to God or read your Bible and it just doesn't make sense, or you feel distance from God? There isn't a closeness that you desire. It's because you've sinned. And that has caused a separation between you and God. Listen, it may be hard to see it on the vertical, but at the horizontal, we get it. Right? If you came up to me after the service and said, really good message, Pastor, and proceed to kick me as hard as you can right in my shin, and blood is oozing out of my shin, and I'm going, what? And you go, oh, I just felt like doing that. Would you like to go get coffee? Am I going to go get coffee, hobble to coffee? And no, there's a because you sin, because you kick me, there's a separation. And something has to happen before we're reconciled. That something is forgiveness. It's the same with God. How do you think you can go through your whole life sinning, being in rebellion, breaking God's commands, and think that you can just stand before him and say, oh, I'm a pretty good person, so let me in? Are you crazy? That doesn't work with humans. Kick me, let's go for coffee? Oh, sure. No, there's a separation. That's what we need to understand. We need to recognize there is a problem. And it's true with people as well. Look at Proverbs 15, 17, that when we sin against each other, when there's sin in our relationship, there's separation. It says, better a meal of vegetables where there's love than a fattened calf where there's hatred. Let me translate that. Better have a bowl of frozen mixed vegetables than have a steak if you're having conflict with the people you're eating with. Because there's a separation there. You've all felt it. I felt it. Even at my dinner table, there have been times where there's conflict with the kids or whatever, and it's just like, I don't even want to be here. I don't want to, this meal, I'm not tasting the food, I'm just upset. Right? I went into a restaurant. My wife and I went to a restaurant back in Loveland, Colorado years ago, and there was a couple that were having a nice meal. It was a nice restaurant. They had a steak dinner, and it was an older couple, and they were, by their body language, you could tell something wasn't quite right in the relationship. They weren't looking at each other. Actually, he was facing this way, looking over there, and she was facing this way, looking that way, and they're just kind of eating their food, kind of looking off, not saying a word the whole dinner. You ever seen anybody do that before? Maybe that's you. I don't know. But it happens because there's a separation. Something is broken. Something needs to get fixed. And I was tempted to go to the cook and get some cooked vegetables and put it in front of both of them. Give them a little baby spoon and say, here you go. Give me your steaks. Because it'd be better if you would just talk and get it worked out. And then eat your steak. Otherwise, just eat the vegetables. Because that's what the Bible says. There's hatred, if there's a separation, it needs to get fixed first before you can even enjoy what God gives you. It's the same in our relationship with God. I love this illustration. The famous artist, Leonardo da Vinci, when he was painting this painting of the Last Supper, he tells a story in his own words. He says this, when I was painting the Last Supper, I became angry with a man, and I actually lashed out at him. So one of his friends he got in an argument with, and he actually lashed out. He said, I even threatened him. Leonardo threatened the guy right in the middle of his painting. He says, then he went back to his fresco, and he tried to paint the face of Jesus, but he couldn't, for there's too much evil inside of him. And that lack of peace forced him to put down his brushes, go find the man, and ask for his forgiveness. And then he writes, only then did I have the inner calm needed to paint the face of my master. You want a relationship with God, then you got to understand there's a problem, first of all, that needs to be corrected. If you want that inner peace, you need to seek out and receive God's forgiveness for all the sins that you've committed against him. All right, and we're going to get to practical how to do that in this teaching. So that's the first thing. Second thing is this. If we're going to get practical about forgiveness, we need to acknowledge the pain. Acknowledge the pain, and then understand that it pains God when we sin against him. At this level, the people-to-people level, horizontal, we get that. We could all raise our hands and tell a story about somebody that's hurt us. Way down inside our soul, there's scars, there's arrows that people have lodged there, that some of them are still there, and that their poison seeps into our soul. We could all tell stories about that, but here's the deal. When it comes to getting this corrected, when we ask for forgiveness from people and we're going to apply the forgiveness that God offers, we can't say things like, well, that was okay, what you did was okay, or it really didn't hurt, or it doesn't matter. No, we need to acknowledge. We don't just, by forgiving people for hurting us, it doesn't mean that we're just saying it's okay, it doesn't matter, it didn't really hurt. We're never saying that. We need to acknowledge in our minds and to people, yeah, it did hurt when you did this. But we still need to forgive them. That's what God tells us to do. We need to forgive them. In Luke 11, it says, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. The Bible is clear. People will sin against you. It's going to happen. It has happened. And you know it's happened. How do we deal with that? We need to acknowledge that it hurt. Some of us are too sensitive. We need to toughen up a little bit. Some of us are not sensitive enough. But regardless, people do sin against us, and we sin against them, just like we sin against God, and it hurts all the way around. And forgiveness, the balm of forgiveness, needs to be applied in those situations. Let me just give an example, because I think this is helpful, instructive. A personal example, I could give lots of them, but let's just say this happened once in a while, that I offended my wife. Let's just say, just pretend that I've offended her from time to time. We like to think of it in terms of pink and blue. This is the language that we'll often use. Men and women are different. I don't know if you realize that. That's a whole nother teaching, but it's true. Okay, men and women are different. My wife thinks in pink, and I think in blue. And she acts in pink, and I act in blue. And sometimes pink and blue don't meld. And so here's what will happen. As a result of that, I can say things that are insensitive and hurtful, and it can just, I can't even, you know, it didn't even register with me. But my wife over here, her hurt meter just went, that really hurt what he just said. Oh, that was painful. And so this is, when that happens, and so this is a way we deal with it. Oftentimes, this has happened. After something like that, I'm in my office or working away, my wife will come in, and she'll say, can we talk for a second? And then I go, I know what this is, you know. And my flesh can be screaming. I might even have an idea, because she's really good about coming quickly. We don't let things linger in our house. For 25 years we've been married, we just don't. Never, overnight. We'll deal with it, always. So she'll come in, and she's really good about this. She's very tender, but my flesh can be screaming, no, I wasn't wrong when I yelled at her, or whatever. Or yelled at my kids, you know, oh, she's going to reprove me. And she'll just say, you know, and I'll turn around, engage her, and she'll say something like, I think this could be a pink-blue thing. That's how she'll start. Then I go, oh, yeah, here it comes. But the way you said this, or these words that you said, and she'll tell me, that really hurt me. That was very hurtful. That was painful for you to say that and tell me the reason why. And I look at her and say, you know, shut up, woman. Just be quiet. Just chill out. No. You don't say that. You say that once, but that's all. Never say that again, okay? No, so she explains what I did wrong, and I own it. There's a gap between us, and I sense it. And so I swallow my pride. I acknowledge the pain. I can see that that hurts you. And it's not rote. It's like, yeah, it's usually like, I know. I did that. That was so wrong, and that hurts you. I see it hurts you. Thank you for telling me. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? And those last words, those are the words we use. Those are the exact words you should use. I'm sorry, but don't leave it there. Will you forgive me? Can we just have a little practice with that? Say those words with me. Ready? Sorry. Will you forgive me? And this is so important. I'm not kidding. When I counsel couples and they don't use that, I stop them in the middle and say, you didn't use the magic words. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Why? Because it makes me own it. It means I've sinned against you. There's something to forgive. It was on me. I did that. I acknowledge it. I've sinned. And she says, yes, you did. But I love you enough to forgive you. And then we're unhooked. And then that relationship is absolutely instantly restored, especially with her. You can just see the tension level just go boom, instantly at that point. That's what I'm talking about. That's how we deal with the horizontal relationships. We have to be humble, and we have to say those words, I'm sorry. Not just I'm sorry, because I'm sorry could mean I'm sorry you're so sensitive. I mean, really, that's what I'm saying. Or I'm sorry I got caught. I'm sorry this is such a big deal to you when it really isn't a big deal. Would you just drop it? I'm sorry doesn't cut it. I was wrong. Will you forgive me for my sinning against you? It's got to go there. In our relationship, it will stop at that point if it doesn't go there, and my wife will just look at me. Even if I say I'm sorry, there'll be silence. And I will say, I was wrong. Will you please forgive me for that? I see it. And it goes both ways. She has sinned against me a couple times in her 25 years. But mainly me, we're going to be honest. So here's what's happened. I remember having a counseling time with a couple, and they were going back and forth, and he was talking about how bad she was. And I just said, I just got in the middle and said, just stop. This is so ridiculous. You guys are not even acting like adults. And I said, here's what we're going to do. Gave me each a piece of paper and pencil. I said, write down the top five things that you think, if your spouse changed, things will get better in your marriage. Write them down right now. So they did that, and I took them through that very exercise for each one of them. He would read it, and she would acknowledge it. I see what you're saying. Yeah, I'm sorry for that. I don't want to do that anymore. Will you please forgive me? And I make him go there. And this guy would say, yes, I forgive you. That's the other part. You have to forgive him. Well, I don't feel like forgiving him. I don't care. You feel like forgiving him. The Bible says, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Aren't you glad Jesus forgave you, even though he didn't feel like forgiving you? He's suffering on a cross. Said, Father, forgive him. They don't know what they're doing. We have no choice but to forgive him. So we say, yes, I forgive you. Went through that with both of them, both sides, back and forth, back and forth. They were done. I said, good. So here's what we're going to do. There's still, you know, half hour left or whatever. I said, I got a match and an old plate. And I said, burn them. Burn what? Burn those lists right there. So I made them burn them. I gave him $5. Said, there's a half hour left in our session. Go have coffee. Get out of here. Boom. Kicked him out. Because, and I said, by the way, you can never bring these up again. Never. It's burned. It's gone. You forgave him. God doesn't remember when he forgives you. He doesn't remember those sins. He chooses not to. You can't remember them either. And that's how we deal with the horizontal. That's how we deal with forgiveness. That's how we put the balm of forgiveness. It will instantly bring that relationship back. Now, if they do it again, yeah, you got to bring it up again. I'm not saying you can never bring that issue up. It's that issue as of today. But you can't drag it out and say, you always do this when they haven't done it again. It's forgiven. It's forgiven. You see, forgiveness, what you need to understand is forgiveness is an act of your will. It is not a feeling. I don't feel like forgiving. That's why I say, I don't care how you feel. I give a rip about how you feel. You forgive them. If they come to you and ask for forgiveness, you forgive them. But they're just going to do it again. I don't care. You are commanded to forgive as the Lord forgave you. Listen, let me show you a story, and you won't have any more arguments, okay? Let me read a story to you. If you're one that says, oh, yeah, I only forgive if I feel like forgiving, then you are not, you don't understand biblical forgiveness, for one. That's what you're saying. Story of that I want to share with you is about this woman, Corrie Ten Boom. She was a Nazi war prisoner. She was a Christian. Her family was caught hiding Jews to save lives. And she was put in a prison called Ravensbrück concentration camp. She watched her sister die in front of her very eyes in that concentration camp. She was brutally tortured. A lot of things happened to her, but she's a strong Christian woman. After the war, she spent her life traveling around speaking to large groups of people about forgiveness. She learned a lot about forgiveness. And she tells a story. She was giving one of these talks in Berlin at one point. And in the crowd, after the talk on forgiveness, she sees somebody coming toward her. And it was, she recognized him as one of the guards that had brutally beat her and her sister and killed her sister. One of the guards at Ravensbrück. She recognized him. He was in street clothes. The war was over. She didn't know if he recognized her, but he was coming toward her. And let me pick up her narrative from her book. She says, now he was in front of me, hand thrust out, a fine message, Fräulein. How good it is to know, as you say, all of our sins are at the bottom of the sea. I had a really hard time first service. I'm praying for better. She says, and I, who had spoken so glibly of forgiveness, fumbled in my pocketbook rather than take his hand. He would not remember me, of course. How could he remember me? One of 1,000 women in that prison. But I remembered him. I remember the leather crop swinging from his belt, face to face with one of my captors, and my blood seemed to freeze. You mentioned Ravensbrück in your talk, he was saying. I was a guard there. No, he didn't remember me. But since that time, he went on, I've become a Christian. I know that God has forgiven me for the cruel things I did there, but I would like to hear it from your lips as well, Fräulein. Again, the hand came out. Will you forgive me? And I stood there, I whose sins had again and again to be forgiven. And I could not forgive him. Betsy had died in that place. Could he erase her slow, terrible death simply for the asking? It could not have been many seconds that he stood there, his hand held out, but to me it seemed hours as I wrestled with the most difficult thing I'd ever had to do. For I had to do it. I knew that. You see, the message of God's forgiveness has a prior condition that we forgive those who have injured us. If you do not forgive men their trespasses, Jesus said, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. And still I stood there with coldness clutching my heart. But forgiveness is not an emotion. And I knew that too. And I don't want you to miss this. She says, forgiveness is an act of the will. And the will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart. Help, I prayed silently. I can lift my hand, God. I can do that much, but you've got to supply the feeling. And so woodenly, mechanically, I thrust my hand into the one outstretched to me. And as I did, an incredible thing took place. The current started in my shoulder and raced down my arm, sprang into our joined hands. And then this healing warmth seemed to flood my whole being, bringing tears to my eyes. I forgive you, brother, I cried with all my heart. For a long moment, we grasped each other's hands, the former guard and the former prisoner. I had never known God's love so intensely as I did then. So you want to tell me about the person that gave you a dirty look at work and that you can't forgive them? I challenge you on that. That forgiveness is not an emotion. It's an act of your will. And you need to step out in faith and forgive those that have hurt you. Which brings us to the third point. We need to confront our past and ask yourself, who's hurt you? Who has hurt you in your life? Who still owes you? If they walked in today, which people, if they walked in, you'd walk out the other way? You'd want to have nothing to do with them. Which people, if they walked in here today, you'd look at them and say, man, I hope they don't succeed. Man, I wish I could get a pound of flesh out of that person. Man, I hope they get the justice they deserve. Who are those people in your life? Do you realize that you are a prisoner of those bitter feelings? That it is you that need to forgive for your sake, if nothing else. Look what it says, Proverbs 19. Oops, I went too far, sorry. Proverbs 19, a man's own folly ruins his life, yet his heart rages against the Lord. A man's own folly. So it is our folly. Sometimes the things that we do cause our own pain, cause the trouble in our lives, and that is certainly true of unforgiveness, being unwilling to forgive people, even if they're not asking for it, even if they don't deserve it, you need to, between you and God, ask God for the strength to forgive them for the hurt that they've caused you. You need to do that. Otherwise, it'll ruin your life. Look at this good quote from Lewis B. Smeads, Christian author and theologian. He says, to forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover that the prisoner was you. When you forgive people, you are set free. Do you realize that? Have you experienced that before? Oh, but we want to hold on to the bitterness. It's going to ruin your life. You see, forgiveness will free you from that bitterness that you have in your heart. Only forgiveness will forgive you, will free you from that. In fact, bitterness will enslave you, and we get bitter when we have unforgiveness in our heart. Hebrews 12 says, see to it that no one misses the grace of God, don't miss it, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. You see, here's a little dirty secret, is that when you're bitter, it doesn't just affect you. It affects everybody around you. It's like a poison seeping out of you. And if you want to be freed from it, you need to apply forgiveness. First of all, God's forgiveness in your life. Receive that today, and he'll give you the strength to forgive other people. He will. You can be free. Look what it says in Ephesians. The Bible tells us to get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. When the Bible says get rid of something, it means that you can get rid of it. It's possible. No matter how much you feel like I could never get rid of this, it's so rooted in my heart. The Bible says get rid of it. You can by doing what we just talked about. And also what we're going to talk about at the end, you receiving the forgiveness that God offers you. That's the start of freeing yourself from bitterness and rage, and slander, and anger, and brawling. All those things can be released through forgiveness that Christ offers you. You can have it today. And I believe this, that in this area of forgiveness, you will either get better or you're going to get worse. You're going to get bitter. But you leave here today with unforgiveness in your heart, it's only going to get worse. Go to number four. the fourth foundation of forgiveness is to accept God's payment. Accept God's payment. And understand a couple things. When it comes to payment for sin, God alone is the judge. You with me here? God is the judge, and he has not granted you power of attorney to inflict justice on other people or to hate other people or to be bitter toward other people. He has not granted you the power of attorney. He alone is judge. Therefore, he can say this, do not repay anyone for evil, evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. Do you believe that? Or do you feel like, you know, they got away with it, so I'm going to do something. I'm just going to hate them. I'm going to treat them bad. I'm going to give them the cold shoulder. No, no, no. God says, don't do that. Leave room for me. I'm going to take care of it. Oh, it may not be today. It may not be tomorrow, but I will take care of it. That's his promise to you. So you and I, we need to understand, vengeance is the Lord's, not yours. Vengeance is not yours. Vengeance means to inflict injury in return for insult. And we're so tempted to want to do this. But we are not God's instruments of vengeance. We never have been. We have no right to respond negatively to God or to other people because of our circumstances. We have no right to judge anyone. Vengeance is not yours. Now, we've been programmed, even in our culture, to think vengeance is a cool thing. I mean, we watch Rambo, and what happens in Rambo? Oh, we love it. Rambo, the innocent, you know, ex-soldier, comes into town, just trying to mind his own business, and somebody picks on him, and somebody kicks him over here, and then they do some other bad things, and they blow up this of his, and they do all this stuff, and by the middle of the movie, we're going, Rambo, don't take it any longer. Go get him. Kill them all, Rambo. Do it. Just wipe them all out, Rambo. Go, Rambo. And Rambo is happy to oblige. His revenge is Rambo's. And we love it. Because they deserve it. Every last one of them deserve it. And we know it. And Rambo knows it. You are not to go all Rambo in your Christian life. That is not what God's called you to. God will go Rambo. It'll be a controlled Rambo, but it'll be his wrath, and you don't want to experience that. Look, here's a crazy verse. I want you to catch this. There's something happening, and it's happening for a reason. Let me read it. The psalmist says, let the sea resound and everything in it, in the world, and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord. They're really happy. Nature is happy. All of creation is singing and clapping and cheering. Why are they singing? Why are they so happy? For he comes to judge the earth. They are thrilled, they're ecstatic, and you will be too. Why? Because he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity. In other words, men and women, you don't have to show wrath and bitterness and anger toward people because God says no one gets away with anything, ever. I will repay. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Don't worry. It's like a dad stepping in between some kids and saying, I'll take care of it. I'll take care of this. Don't you worry. I got it. Our Father in heaven says, I got it. I don't care what injustice has been done to you. You can entrust it to God. And you can say, okay, all right. If he says he's got it, I'm going to step away from this. God's got it. He will repay. Therefore, we don't have to bring justice. He's big enough. We can trust him. Which means we can forgive and forget. I just want to touch this briefly. Again, in Colossians, it says, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. How did he forgive you? As a Christian, if you're a believer, if you've received this forgiveness, then all your sins have been wiped away and he doesn't bring them up. He chooses not to remember. They're all past, present, and future gone. And God doesn't. And we're to do the same thing. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Do the same thing. When you forgive somebody, you've got to let it go. Ask God to take it out of your mind. Don't bring it up again. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. We need to forgive and forget. And this is a tough thing for a lot of people. I talk with people, say, you know, I've forgiven them, but I certainly will never forget it. You know, I'm still mad about that. You know people like that. Are they bitter or are they better? Are they somebody you like hanging around? Those people that won't forgive? They say they've forgiven, but they haven't. In fact, Merv Rozelle, who's an evangelist with Youth for Christ, said, when God pardons, he consigns to everlasting forgetfulness. When he forgives your sins, they're gone. And we need to do the same thing. I like what Henry Ward Beecher said. He says, I can forgive, but I cannot forget. That's only another way of saying, I will not forgive. Men and women, if you're in the habit of saying, I'm going to forgive, but I'm not going to forget it, then you don't understand biblical forgiveness, and it's ruining your life. You got to let it go. You're really saying, I'm not forgiving that. No matter what your mouth says, you're not forgiving it. And today we have a special opportunity to hear someone's story that has gone through a situation where they had to apply these very principles. I'm going to ask Angie McGuire to come on up and grab the microphone, which is on the very front chair there. Angie, are you here? Really? Angie is not here. Okay. Well, can somebody go find her? Because I can keep going, and we'll bring her up. I think I told her it's two services. I'm pretty sure, but well, maybe it's on me. I'll have to say I'm sorry. Will you forgive me for not telling you two services? She'll be up in a minute. We can continue on. I only have a couple more points left. Fourth point in this section. Who do you need to forgive? That's a question you should ask. Who do I need to forgive? Maybe it's your brother or sister. That could be a physical brother or sister. Maybe it's in this room. We call each other because the Bible says it's true of other Christians. We're brothers and sisters. God is our Father, and we're brothers and sisters. Maybe people have sinned against you, hurt you. Maybe God has hurt you. Maybe a church has hurt you. Maybe other church leaders have hurt you. Maybe your neighbors or your spouse has hurt you. Maybe your parents have hurt you. Who do you need to forgive? I want to share with you just this thought. It is hard to forgive others when you haven't been forgiven by God yet. It is really hard. So that's where we need to start. We need to start by asking God to come into our heart and forgive us. We have to do that, men and women. That's where we need to start. So let me finish with this. Receive God's pardon. This is the first step we need to take. And for some of you, this will be the very step you need to take today, right now today, to receive God's forgiveness. This is going to help you with all your other relationships. It is. Did we find her? No? Okay. The video didn't get recorded for service. So anyway, she had a really cool, you'll have to ask her about a really cool forgiveness story with her dad. It was very touching how God worked in their lives and allowed her to forgive her dad for some hurts that he had done to her. But you and I, let's get back to you now. We need to receive God's pardon. You need to do that today. And restoration comes through forgiveness. Last verse. Ephesians 1:7 says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. In him we have forgiveness. Redemption comes through the blood of Christ. You can have that today. How do you get forgiven from God? Well, he's already paid for all your sins. The question is, have you applied that to your life? Have you received the forgiveness that he offers you? Have you done that yet? And here's an amazing statement by world-renowned psychiatrist named Carl Menninger. You may have heard of him. Look what he says about forgiveness. He says, if I could convince the patients in psychiatric hospitals that their sins were forgiven, 75% of them could walk out the next day. In other words, he feels like this issue of not understanding forgiveness is so significant, we could empty psychiatric hospitals, 75% of them, if they just understood the forgiveness that God offers. It's that important. It has that much of an impact on your life. That's what he says. Forgiveness is that critical. So my question for you today, last question, have you received God's payment for sin? Have you done that yet? That's where it starts, on the vertical, with you and God. And then you can work on the horizontal. I gave you some practical tips on how to work on this, but man, today let's settle it. You don't know for sure you're going to heaven. You're not absolutely 100% sure. Not because of your church attendance, not because of your tithing, not because of your good works or trying to be worthy or trying to clean up your life, none of that, but because Jesus paid for your sins on the cross, and today you're going to receive that gift. And you can pray with me today. If that's you and you don't know for sure, then settle it today. So why don't we bow our heads and we'll pray. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for the gift and the blessing of forgiveness that you've given to us. I appreciate it so much. It has changed my life. And today, Lord, I know there's so many Christians and so many people here that need to deal with horizontal relationships and with their friends who have hurt them. And they need to apply these principles of forgiveness, help them to do that. But I want to focus on those who are sitting here today that have not yet received the ultimate forgiveness from you. Jesus, thank you for dying for their sins. That you are asking them today, you're handing out a check to them. You're saying, I want to pay for all your sins. I did it with my death, my burial, my resurrection. I paid for them. I'm offering you a gift. Imagine Jesus holding you a gift today. This is forgiveness for all your sins. You can have it today if you just take it. I've already paid for it, says Jesus. And if that's you and you're saying, yes, yes, I want that today. I might not even understand it all, but I want that forgiveness. Then you can pray in your heart quietly with me right now. You can ask him for it. And this isn't magic words. This is you connecting with God. You're saying to God of the universe who paid for all your sins, say this, say in your heart quietly, God, I need you. I've sinned greatly against you. I don't deserve to go to heaven. I deserve to be punished. But right now, I acknowledge my sin and how it's hurt you. I know it was wrong. Will you please forgive me, God? Will you apply the death that Jesus died? Will you apply that payment to my sins? I want to take that gift that you offer me, the gift of forgiveness, and put it on my sins and my life. I want to cling to you, Jesus. I know I can't be good enough. I've already blown it. I know I can't go to church enough. It will not get me to heaven. I can't be trying as hard as I can. That's not going to do it. I need you, Jesus, to forgive me. And I ask you to come into my life and forgive me right now. I trust you. I believe in you. And I thank you for dying for me on the cross. I say yes to you, Jesus. Today, February 22nd, 2015, is my day to receive Christ and become a Christian and have my sins wiped away right now. Thank you, Jesus. Now, if that was you, as your heads are bowed and no one's really looking, just I want to talk to you. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, you asked Christ to come into your heart, like you heard from the baptism testimonies, how there was a point where people said yes to Jesus, and you said that today. That was your day, today. If you prayed that prayer today, I'm talking to you. I want you to look up at me. Everybody else, keep your heads bowed. Look at me right now, if that's you. Look at my eyes. I want to see your eyes. Don't be ashamed or shy of this. Jesus just paid for your sins. You shouldn't be ashamed. You should be looking at me if that's your prayer. Okay, raise your hand. If you're looking at me, just put your hand up real quick, please, because I can't see. Don't be ashamed. Put it up. Do not be ashamed. Right there. Okay, keep it up, because I am counting at least 20 people. Now you keep looking at me, because that is the best. You can put your hand down. Here's what I'm going to have you do. Nobody else is, again, I'm not trying to embarrass you, but I want to help you. That is the best decision you'll ever make. The best decision. Here's what I want you to do. You need to take a step of faith right now. So if you're looking at me and you raise your hand, reach in front of you and take that prayer card. Just take it right now. Pull it out. Do not fail to do that. If you're looking at me, you should be holding a prayer card in your hand. Take it out and put your name on it. That's all I want you to do. Put your name on it. There's a pen right in front of you. And then put, I prayed with Bill in the prayer section. You can put a contact if you want. I will contact you. I'm not going to stalk you. I want to help you. I want to resource you because I want you to sit with Jesus and receive from him. And I should receive about 20 cards after the service, no less than that. So I'm going to be up here with my leaders. I just want you to come up. I want to congratulate you. I want to talk about that, answer any questions, and help you understand what you did. Bring me your card. Write it down right now, your name. I prayed with Bill, and bring it up to me. All right? Okay, you can put your heads down. Keep writing if you haven't filled that out yet. For the rest of us, God, we thank you. Thank you that forgiveness is such a gift, such a blessing, and we have it available to us through Jesus Christ. We are so thankful. Thanks for everyone who said yes to you today. Thank you that whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. There was a crossing that happened this morning, God, and I thank you for that. Thank you for the good news of Jesus dying for our sins and then offering us eternal life. Help us in this area of forgiveness, God. Help us deal with the forgiveness issues that we all have. You come to the strength to help everyone that is thinking right now, I've got to deal with this or I've got to deal with that. You give them grace to help them, I pray. And I thank you for this morning for the gift of forgiveness, and we all thank you. For it's in your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.